All right, let's open our Bibles, please, to the book of Ezra, chapter 6. Ezra, chapter 6. By the way, we have a wedding coming up on Saturday. That's been in the bulletin for a while. Appreciate your prayers in that regard. It will be a little different for some of us. For a lot of us, it will be very different. We've had many, many funerals in our church. We've not had so many weddings, at least since our family's been here. This will be my first time officiating a wedding, and for my daughter as well. So anyhow, so we're looking forward to seeing how all that goes. But pray for us during the course of this week. And come to the wedding, by the way, Saturday, 11 o'clock, and we're going to eat afterwards. So that's motivation to come right there. But come and enjoy it. We're in Ezra chapter 6, and it's been a little while since we've been in our study of Ezra, just with everything that's been going on. And last week, Brother Jim shared his testimony. That was a blessing, wasn't it? It really was. And it was a blessing to get to work with him this week, and or last week, and just to see his heart for the Lord. And he would, as he's working along, he has these, you know, ear pods in his ears, listening to good Christian music. I'd walk in the room, say something to him, or ask him a question. He's like, "What? Let me turn off my phone here." So anyhow, just thinking about the things of the Lord. We had some good times of fellowship too along the way with working. So anyhow, he was a blessing. But so we're back in Ezra, and tonight we're going to begin or pick up in our study in verse 13. We're going to go through verse number 15. So if you'll please look with me at those verses, we'll read them, and then we'll pray together. Ezra chapter 6 and verse 13. "Then Tatnai, governor on this side the river," that's the river Euphrates, "Shethar-Boznai and their companions, according to that which Darius the king had sent, so they did speedily. And the elders of the Jews builded, and they prospered through the prophesying of Haggai the prophet and Zechariah the son of Iddo. And they builded and finished it according to the commandment of the God of Israel and according to the commandment of Cyrus and Darius and Artaxerxes, king of Persia. And this house was finished on the third day of the month Adar, which is in the sixth year of the reign of Darius the king." Let's pray. Lord, thank you for this beautiful Lord's Day that we've enjoyed together. Thank you for allowing us to come back to this place tonight to worship through you through music and singing and through our giving. Lord, just offering spiritual sacrifices to you, acceptable to you through Jesus Christ. Lord, as we open your word, we ask for the help of your Spirit to be able to communicate your word clearly. Please help us to receive your word with all readiness of mind. Pray that you would speak to each and every heart. May you be honored by our time in your word tonight, by our response to your word. Please make it a help to each and every one of us as we begin this week with you and look forward to your blessings throughout for your grace and enabling. Please do guide us now and be honored in our church and in our lives throughout the remainder of this evening. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. When God's people respond positively to God's word and keep obeying in spite of obstacles and opposition, much work can be accomplished. This results in great glory for God. It results in great joy for God's people. And all those things were true in relation to the Jews, the nation of Judah, and their rebuilding the temple at Jerusalem. Now, in an earlier situation, when the Jews faced opposition of the Samaritans, the work stopped. For a period of 10 years, the work stopped. Didn't need to do that, but it did. But this time, when God's people faced some questioning, it wasn't necessarily opposition in the same form as it was before, but the work was questioned. This time, they didn't immediately stop. They just kept on working until this matter was brought before King Darius and they received his official answer. So because God's people kept obeying the last word that they heard from God, in spite of the opposition, Now this work is completed. The work of the temple is completed, and God's people have much reason to celebrate. And so tonight for our message, we're going to explore this topic together, desire accomplished. Desire accomplished. Proverbs 13:19 says, the desire accomplished is sweet to the soul. It feels good to have a job finished. Amen? When jobs are finished, it feels good. And we see this desire accomplished on the part of God's people, which wasn't just their desire. It was really God's desire behind it all. But we see that they accomplished this great task of rebuilding God's temple at Jerusalem. And so as we look at the Jews' example tonight, we're going to be encouraged to diligently finish the work which God gives us to do, to labor in His strength for His glory, to see things accomplished in His name. So as we look at this passage of Scripture tonight, I'd like for us to focus primarily on the diligence of God's people. Humanly speaking, the finishing of this temple rebuild was the result of some diligence on the part of various people group. If you look at verse 13, you find that the finishing of the temple was, first of all, the result of diligence on the part of this man, Tatnai. He is the governor of all the Persian provinces on the west side of the Euphrates River. Well, he again sends a letter to King Darius, says, hey, would you look into this about what these Jews are doing? Did King Cyrus really give a decree for this work to be done? Well, the king writes back to them, if you look at verse 12, and the last sentence in verse 12 says, I, Darius, have made a decree, let it be done with speed. So King Darius answers back. He tells Tatnai, the governor, and those with him to let this work continue, to support it out of the king's own treasury, and to see that his word was carried out speedily. So he says, let this thing be done quickly, diligently. And as you look on in verse 13, they do exactly as the king says. The last phrase there in verse 13 says, so they did speedily. They're diligent. Had these men dragged their feet in carrying out the king's message, carrying the king's orders back to the Jews, the work would have suffered. First of all, it would have suffered for lack of resources, because part of the decree from King Darius was to support the work out of the king's own treasury. That needed to be done quickly, and because these men respond quickly, the Jews have all the building materials that they need. But also, the fact that they carry the king's message back to the Jews speedily, that gives them some encouragement, because even though they're working along, they still probably have a question in the back of their mind. Okay, is King Darius going to send a message to us now saying that we have to stop? Is what we're doing really approved by the king? And so their hands aren't really strong to labor. But now these men, these messengers, carry back the message and they say, not only is King Darius in support of it, but he's commanding this thing to be done. Don't think that puts some encouragement in their hearts. Now they're knowing, man, this thing, we're going to have all the resources we need. And now we have the king's own authority to get this thing done. And so the work is accomplished through some men who diligently carry the king's message and carry out the king's orders. Today, you and I need to learn from and follow the example of this man, Tatnai, those working with him, in obeying the word of our king, the King of Kings. God's work should be done speedily, and our hands will be diligent in doing God's work if our heart is in it. Someone said slack hands are often the result of slack hearts. When our hearts are in it, there will be some diligence. We ought to obey the word of our king diligently. We ought to obey immediately. Someone said delayed obedience is disobedience, and disobedience is sin. Work suffers. God's work suffers when God's people are not diligent and as they ought to be. We ought to be diligent in doing the will of God. We ought to be diligent in carrying the message of God. In a sense, you have these people carrying a message of good news. It's the good news, the word of the king. And we ought to be just as quick, just as diligent in carrying the word of God, the Scriptures, the Gospel. Unfortunately, someone said a lie can sometimes make it halfway around the world while the truth is still tying its shoelaces. Lies spread quickly. Bad news travels fast. But all too often, sometimes good news, we're very slow with it. But our motto and our practice should be this: take my feet and let them be swift and beautiful for thee. Paul said in 2 Corinthians 8:7, therefore as ye abound in everything, in faith and utterance and knowledge and in all diligence. We ought to abound in diligently sharing the Word of God and doing the will of God. So this desire accomplished in seeing the temple rebuilt was in this text the result of some diligence on the part of these Persian officials in getting the word back to the Jews and also supporting the work. But secondly, the diligence in rebuilding the temple is seen in verses 14 and 15. And this is on the part of God's people, the Jews, the elders of the Jews, among whom was this governor of the province of Judah, Zerubbabel. These men were diligent with the work that they had been given to do. They worked diligently in God's strength until the work was finished. Verse 14 says, and the elders of the Jews builded, and they prospered. The second sentence begins, and they builded and finished it. Verse 15, and this house was finished on the third day of the month Adar, which is in the sixth year of the reign of Darius the king. So these men worked diligently. They finished the job. They didn't do this in their own strength, by the way. We could go to the book of Zechariah, and we'll note in just a moment a little more about the preaching of Haggai and Zechariah. But Zechariah chapter 4, verses 4 or 6 through 9, here's what it says. Then he answered and spake unto me, saying, this is the word of the Lord unto Zerubbabel, saying, not by might, nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. Who art thou, O great mountain? Before Zerubbabel thou shalt become a plain. The hands of Zerubbabel have laid the foundation of this house. His hands shall also finish it. And thou shalt know that the Lord of hosts hath sent me unto you. For who hath despised the day of small things? For they shall rejoice and shall see the plummet in the hand of Zerubbabel with those seven. They are the eyes of the Lord which run to and fro through the whole earth. So this desire is accomplished. The work is finished because Zerubbabel and those who are with him work diligently, and they work in the strength of the Lord. Today, God will supply His strength if our hearts are willing. 2 Chronicles 16:9 uses words similar to what Zechariah said there. It says, for the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show Himself strong on the behalf of them whose heart is perfect toward Him. Are our hearts right with God? Are we willing to do the will of God? As we are willing, He'll give us the strength. And then relying upon God's strength, we need to be committed to finishing whatever He's given us to do, to do it for His glory. Zerubbabel laid the foundation, and he finished it. Ecclesiastes 9:10 says, whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with thy might. Jesus said in His high priestly prayer, as it's often called in John 17, verse 4, I have glorified thee on the earth. I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. God is glorified by a finished job when we finish the work that He's given us to do. Romans 12:11 says, not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. Granted, there were some people, again, we know this from earlier messages, that there were some people that weren't that impressed with the rebuilt temple. Some, when they looked at the temple when the foundation stone was laid, there were some shouting and rejoicing. There were others, you know, that were crying, they're weeping, because it just didn't measure up to what it once was or what the temple was before. But we need to remember this, that no work which is truly done for the Lord is small or insignificant. Regardless of how this temple appeared in the eyes of the people, this was a big deal. This was something that glorified God. And significance in our work is not seen so much in what we do, but for whom we do it. That's what places value on what we do on a day-to-day basis. Most of our lives are not made up by these great, grand projects. Aren't we thankful for that? Yeah, it's just the day-in, day-out labor for the Lord. These are our daily offerings and sacrifices that we give up to the Lord. But if it's done for God's glory, it's not a small work, and we ought not to despise the day of small things. Paul said, "Whatsoever you do, do it heartily, as to the Lord and not unto men, knowing that of the Lord ye shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for ye serve the Lord Christ." What we do for the Lord. And that's what makes it important. Someone wrote the following poem. She said her hands were ugly, and she tried to hide them too. But in God's sight 'twas different, for He knew what they could do. They were busy hands for Jesus, doing tasks for Him each day. They washed and ironed and sewed and scrubbed in the most willing, cheerful way. They kept a clean and shining home. They cared for a family and did the humble, homely jobs in a manner sweet to see. They were ready to help others whenever there was a need. And those ready, willing hands of hers were a source of help indeed. She said her hands were ugly, but not so in His dear sight. For they labored for the Master morning, noon, and night. Yeah, beautiful hands. Hands that labor diligently for the Lord. And again, our sacrifices, our service for the Lord is acceptable because of Jesus Christ. It's because of Him. Now, verse 14 gives us another very important factor in the success of getting this job finished. It says there in verse 14, "The elders of the Jews builded, and they prospered through the prophesying of Haggai the prophet and Zechariah the son of Iddo." We've already referenced the preaching of Zechariah. We've mentioned in the past some of the preaching of Haggai. By the way, this Wednesday night, God willing, as we continue our studies through the minor prophets, we just finished Zephaniah last Wednesday. God willing, this week we'll start Haggai. So you want to come hear about the preaching of Haggai that we read about here, come out to church on Wednesday nights. I think it's going to be a blessing. And God's Word is always a blessing if we're hungry for God's Word. But the prosperity, the diligence, and the prosperity of this work was in part the result of the faithful preaching of the prophets Haggai and Zechariah. God used these men's preaching to stir the people back to obedience in rebuilding the temple, but also to keep diligently engaged in the work in spite of the obstacles and opposition they were facing. These men came alongside as they were, God's people were laboring, and they're preaching and encouraging them to continue on in the work. Do it for the Lord. Reminding them of the commands of God. Verse 14, the second sentence says, "And they builded and finished it according to the commandment of the God of Israel and according to the commandment of these three successive kings of Persia." So God used His Word. God's Word was a source of the success and prosperity of this work. God's people were committed to obedience, and obedience brought about this success. Today, God uses His Word. He uses the preaching of His Word to help us be stirred toward diligence in our walk with God and in our work for Him. We would be hard-pressed to find God's people truly prospering in God's sight, spiritually or otherwise, where there is not faithful preaching or obedience to God's Word. Was not this the message that God gave to Joshua? He said, "This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to," just as we read here, "according to all that is written therein, for then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success." How are we going to prosper in our work? How are we going to finish the work that God gives us to do? How are we going to see those desires accomplished? Obedience to the Word of God. Obeying the Scriptures. And there is no true prosperity for the child of God apart from the Word of God. As we were challenged in Sunday school today, we must obey God's precepts. We reckon on God's promises and His presence. But we have God's precepts. We obey His commands. Paul told Timothy in 1 Timothy 4:6, "If thou put the brethren in remembrance of these things, thou shalt be a good minister of Jesus Christ, nourished up in the words of faith and of good doctrine." A lot of people have different ideas on what makes a good preacher, what makes a good minister. Well, Paul, as he wrote under the inspiration of the Spirit, said this, basically this truth: a good minister is one who reminds us of God's truth and of our responsibility to that truth. Paul says, if you'll remind the brethren of these things, you'll be a good minister. That'll be a good preacher. And we need to be stirred up to obedience to the Word of God. This was Peter's, one of his human motives in writing 2 Peter. He says, as long as I'm in this tabernacle, I'm going to put you in remembrance. I'm going to remind you of these things and stir you up to be diligent, to be adding to your faith. So this work was accomplished through the diligence of some people. Relying on God's strength, and that diligence was the result of God's men preaching the Word of God and stirring God's people to obedience. So today, let's be stirred by the Word of God to diligently do and finish the will of God. Lord, thank You for allowing us to spend this time in Your Word this evening. We thank You that through the much opposition, through the time that it took, the labor that went into it, that the rebuilding of the temple was finished. God's people saw God's Word fulfilled in their lives as they were willing and obedient, relying upon Your strength. I pray that You'd challenge our hearts, Lord, to see the work that You've given each one of us to do, whether it seem large or small in our sight or in the opinion of others. Help us to be diligent. And may we see our desires accomplished, work finished for Your glory and to our encouragement, Lord. Please help us even this week with whatever You give us to do, whether it be studying in school or work in the house or in the workplace, whatever the case may be, Lord. Help us to be good servants as we go out as priests unto our God, offering up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to You through Jesus Christ. With our heads bowed and our eyes closed, I'm going to ask you this question first of all. Are you a servant of the Lord Jesus Christ? Someone said every time Jesus saves a soul, God gets another servant. I'm asking you, are you saved tonight? Have you been saved out of the service of sin and Satan and enlisted in the ranks of God's children? Are you a servant of the Lord tonight? How many could testify and say, preacher, there's been a time in my life where I saw myself as a sinner, lost, going the wrong way. And I've repented, I've turned to the Lord Jesus Christ, and tonight I'm saved. I know it. If you can testify, would you raise your hand? You'd say, yes, I'm trusting Jesus. I'm saved tonight. Thank you. If you're unable to raise your hand, would you tonight invite Jesus Christ into your heart and life to save you from your sins? Christian, are you being diligent? Are you carrying out the word of the King of Kings swiftly? Let's be speedily carrying the word of God, doing the will of God. Are you being diligent with whatever work God's given you to do? Again, we do it for the Lord. It's not to be with eye service as men pleasers. But we're to do all things to please the Lord. Are you being diligent with what God's giving you to do? Are you being obedient to the Word of God? Again, God will not accept sacrifice in the place of obedience to His Word. Are you obeying? Can you tonight say, I'm giving of my best to the Master? Lord, again, thank You for Your Word, for speaking to our hearts. Pray that it might be a help to us in the week ahead. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.